So we started Perek Dalet. So we said, generally, Rav Pinchas Ben Yor began his brisa, the Torah is made. Without Torah, we're not going anyplace. Omnom, al derech prat, what specifically, what's most directly associated with advancement in Sahiris, and maybe the Zehu, who's boinanus achaimra avoid asher chayva odom, it's also a part of Torah. It's a Torah. Is considered a chaimra avoid asher chayva odom. How demanding the Rabbeinu Shalom is of us. How many responsibilities we have to the Rabbeinu Shalom. How meticulous we have to be of observing them. And once we understand that, furthermore, and how they're going to weigh very carefully every aspect of the mitzvah. They're not going to say, well, generally, it looks all right. You know, it's fine. You know, in accounting, they don't just say, well, generally, the books look all right. It's fine. No. Everything has to fit. And they go down whatever, every entry, every number has to be correct. If it's not correct, it's an exhaustive research why it's not correct. And that's the din of the revolution. They don't just take a general look. Well, artistically, it looks all right. It looks up as something like you get washed filling and you put on filling to your yetzer, but you know, let's go on. Was it actually filling? Was it kosher? Whether it was black, but it partially is kosher. Did you put it exactly in the right place? Yeah. Didn't you put it in the right place? Yeah. It's Oymek Adinolel. They're not flighty in the Pesach. They think the Pesach is not superficial. It's demanding. And if a person understands how significant the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom is and how meticulous the din is, then a person will be a Zohar, will be very careful to make sure that he does the mitzvahs properly. Now, we are when a person gets this attitude of his boinonus of chaymer avayda. So, which Torah is this? Part of Torah. I think it has been known that it's Torah. If we learn the incidents in Tanakh carefully, and the Chazal, which bring these things to our awareness, of how significant these things are. Right, when we see, for example, he's going to bring this later on, but I'll just put it at the beginning of the prayer, but he will deal with this later on. If we see, for example, that the Rabbeinu Shalom took Avraham Avinu to task, because Avraham Avinu said, after all the Ian, as much as I could look into this Chazal, I still cannot fathom what the Chet was. Chazal, it wasn't a question that Avraham Avinu didn't believe the Rabbeinu Shalom. Is Bamo'aida, he said, what schus do I need? When the Rabbeinu Shalom promises us something, it's not in a vacuum. It's dependent upon that we have to do our share. We have to do our schus. Right? There's a chazal that I always come back to. It's a sefer shoftim. That the Rabbeinu Shalom came to Gidon and he said, he told him to go wage war for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And you will save the Jewish people. And then later he says, Lech b'koicha chazeh v'shachas Yisrael. Then there's another pasuk or two later, he says, Lech b'koicha chazeh, with this koyach you will save Klal Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom already told him to go wage war for Klal Yisrael. And now he says, Lech b'koicha chazeh v'shachas Yisrael. So Rashi quotes a chazal that the time of the year was Pesach. And in between these two incidents, when the Rabbeinu Shalom first came in and told them to wage war for Klal Yisrael and to save them from their oppressors, and the time the Rabbeinu Shalom came the final time, Lech B'Koicha Chazer, this took place, one was before the night of the Seder, one was after the night of the Seder. And the first one, it's interesting, the first one it says that a Malach came, that's the Loshen. The second one it says that the Rabbeinu Shalom himself spoke. So Rashi says that when he sat down at the Seder, he told his father, says, the Rabbeinu Shalom came to me, and he asked me to save Klal Yisrael. So the Jewish people ought to be saved, he said. Why? Well, they said, well, listen, why did the Rabbeinu Shalom, we're talking tonight about the Jews that were released from Mitzrayim. So tell me about them. What are you about? If there were saintly people and worthy of the redemption, so there are forebears and there's chuster, a Baruch Hu should say, Klal Yisrael now. Perhaps you tell me, no, there were unworthy people, but the Baruch Hu did chesed chinam for them. Like the Rabbanu Shalom was kind to them. He gave a special gift to them. So if that's the case, he says, what are we, orphans? Were any less worthy of having chesed chinam from the Rabbanu Shalom than they were? What's the difference? So either way, however you slice it, the Rabbanu Shalom should come and say this. So as I'll go on, the Rabbanu Shalom came to this, with this koyach, but you will allow it's chus of Klal Yisrael. With that chus, you'll have this chus to win the war. When the Rabbanu Shalom told him to go, he was not guaranteed victory yet. He was guaranteed victory if he'll do everything that he's supposed to do. And one of the things that he was supposed to do on the night of the Seder was to be Malamat Zchus and Klal Yisrael. So when he did everything that he's supposed to do, so then the Rabbanu Shalom comes and tells him, okay, with that koyach, if you were Malamat Zchus, now you're Zoycha that you're going to complete the task and you're going to be successful. Amar Avinu asked, but Ma'idah is Be'ezus Zchus. The Rosh makes a promise, but the person has to be Zoycha to it. The person has to rise to the occasion. So we asked the Rosh Hashanah, Ma'idah, with what Zchus? And somewhere in there is considered something, some deficiency in Amun and Bitochen. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But the Chazal tell us that at Avraham Avinu's level, even such a question could lack in the appropriate level of Amunah Bitochen. So we start to ask ourselves, our questions are not Avraham Avinu's question about what schus are we going to resolve to all the Birchas Hashem. There are different types of questions. So from that we learn of how careful we have to be when we're dealing with the Rabbeinu Shalom and our Avodas Hashem. If our Rabbeinu was called to task with some type of Avera that we have to look under the microscope and we still can't find what the Avera was, then we have to realize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Shefet Kol Haaretz. So if we realize this, this is something that can motivate us to want to be particular about what that which we do. Review that which we do, not to take it for granted. And the best place for this is if we study Sifrei Kodesh, and particularly from the prism of the Perush of Chazal. Chazal understood the figures in Tanakh. Now, when we read the Tanakh, we look at it in a very superficial fashion. Because, like everything else, when we learn the Perush of Chazal, and it tells us about Tzitzis and Philip. Do we have any idea what the Torah is talking about from the Torah of Iksav? The Torah of Iksav is, from our standpoint, the skimpiest of outlines of what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. If not for the fact that it was an accompanying Torah of Alper, the Torah of Iksav come out in most of the mitzvahs would not teach us anything. We'd have no idea what it was. What did Philip look like? What are we supposed to do with Philip? Are they round? Are they square? Are they triangular? What color are they? What's supposed to be in them? How do we know? It says in the Torah, "Is a vachto fashet zivisicha." You should check according to what I've taught you. And because the Rambam points out, you can search the Chamisha Chumshi Torah, and we don't find that the Rabbeinu Shalom specifically told Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah of Shemek Sav how to do shkita. Where is that? It must be in the Torah Shemokah. And the same comes in true in understanding the incidents. The incidents in Chumash need no less perish than the Pasuk Vasula had Tzitzis need to perish in the Sechta Menachas and tell us what Tzitzis are. Or every incident in Tanakh needs the same level of perish. And the same way that we don't understand Tfilin, we don't understand Sukkah, we don't understand Mezuzah, Tzitzis, etc., from reading the Torah of Iksav without the Torah of Alper. We certainly don't understand the mice of the deeds which took place and the Torah's description of them from the standpoint that we take. It's only through the eyes of Chazal, as Chazal open our eyes to what was actually going on, to what the significant issues in the Tanakh are, that we can learn these deep lessons from the figures in Tanakh. And he goes on to tell us the following. V'na yesh b'izboinu hazeh, in contemplating how the Rabbeinu Shalom takes the Aravoida seriously, and how much we're responsible in Mishpat before the Rabbeinu Shalom for it, there are Aras Aras Batro. There are all different levels, and I presume a person has to go level by level. We can't just dive into the upper level. We have to go level by level. Those Lishlemi Adas, those that reach, you know, a great level of Avodas Hashem, see the Elyon, the Plusim Ahem, and those that are very strong over the Hashem, but they're not exactly in the level of Lishlemi Adas yet, or the Cholam on Kula, for the regular Jew. For each and every one of them, and each and every one of us, there was a way to consider these matters and draw closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, consistent with our level of Avodas Hashem. The Shlemi Adas, those that are at a very high level, so what are they concerned about? The whole world to them is a playground. It's a child's play. You know, if you see a couple of kids, 3 years old, coloring with crayons, a mature person doesn't sit down on the floor except if he wants to be nice to the kids to play with them. But he doesn't take out, nobody's home with him, he doesn't take out a piece of paper from the copy machine and take out crayons and start scribbling with crayons on the paper. That's not a malacha for a mature person. Shlemi Adas, see, this whole world is a playground. We're not impressed with this world except through as a means to achieve greatness in the service of Hashem. What will inspire these people? That which becomes clear to them as they focus on it and clarify it further and further. There's nothing in this world that we should be concerned with, truly desire other than shleimus. All the rest, from their standpoint, is child's games. It's crayons and pieces of paper. And what's the ultimate deficiency in this world? Is mechesron ashlemus. If one's lacking in shlemus, this is the ultimate deficiency. When we find ourselves different from it, that's the perspective they need for Avodas Hashem. Deep in that understanding. Once this is clear, they know this. And then the second thing is, we know that everything is shleimus, and how do we reach as close as we can to the our ultimate level? What are the means by which we have to get there? Is hamasim, atayim, amidus, atayim? Is the mitzvahs that we do in midus, atayim? Those are the ones that are going to get us to the state of shleimus. If I understand that shleimus is the name of the game, and the only name of the game, and everything else is titty stuff, and I also understand that it's only through the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom that I'm getting to shleimus, v'adayu shlo yisratzum v'olim mahamid v'elam tzor, they won't want to be lax in any of the mitzvahs, or the hokul behem, or to take the easy way out. It's like a person has the opportunity in this world that can make a great deal of money, but he has to work hard for it. But he has the opportunity is at hand. So what does he do? He sits back and he's lazy. Yeah, tomorrow, later, whatever. He does a little bit of work and then he calls for another coffee. He calls up 3 friends, reads the newspaper. Oh, it's time for lunch. Meanwhile, half the day has gone by. You could have made it on the way to make a massive fortune. The opportunity is sitting on your desk. And you're whiling away the time. So what type of person is this? Could there be anyone more foolish than that? So what a person realizes that Shleime Hadas, that a Shleimus, serving the Rabbeinu Shalom, a complete and high-level service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, is what this whole world is about. And the only way of serving that Rabbeinu Shalom in that fashion is through the mitzvahs. And of course they're going to want to do the mitzvahs and not let them slip away. So this is where we begin the Ramchal's analysis of the first of the greatest Jews, how they need to grow and what factors will cause them to grow. And then I'll deal with all different levels, every level that we're at, we'll address how we have to go forward in our relationship. Good evening, Rabbi Isai. It's time to run to Mincha. So I wish you the best. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem. Shiur Halacha. I hope everyone is well. And I do have to run out to Mincha, so call to Rabbi Isai.